Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Markets Just For You digital app. Earn rewards. Save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. I'm right about that, aren't I? You know they're this extraordinary road run they've been on, don't you?
Yeah. 15-2 since Christmas.
It's
15 of 17. 15-2 since Christmas. Haven't lost in a while on the road. Yeah. Right, very well aware.
We'll get to the Thunder. I wanted to see if you feel better to start this thing. No, well, of course, because it's always my job to put you at ease, because that's been so difficult this year. So I wanted to do that right at the start. All right, quick on Friday. We thought, Max and I thought in the moment, and it was interesting to hear the Marcus Smart comments after the game, because Max and I are like the instant, all right, we're watching the game and this is our reaction, was that it was a high energy, high effort game, just a low efficiency game. Is that how you saw it?
Yep. And that's the way I saw it on film and during the game. I think the one segment of the game where we weren't great was end of first, early second, but we held Utah to 99 points. Yeah. We just couldn't score enough to beat them. And we had some open looks. We had some good possessions. We had some possessions I'd like to have back, where I thought we challenged guys at the rim or maybe shot with a big contest where we could have made an easier play. But I thought our guys fought and gave us a chance, and that's a good team playing well. Another good team playing well today, and we're a little bit more healthy. You know, we're going to have to play better to have a chance to win.
There was a comment you made after the game that kind of caught my attention, made a little note of it, because I think everyone is looking at, all right, Kemba Walker comes back from injury. It's a back-to-back. You're managing minutes. Minute restriction here, minute restriction there. This guy's been hurt. This guy hasn't been hurt. You made a comment about Jason Tatum, because that got a lot of attention, because when does Jason Tatum come back in the game in the fourth quarter, blah, blah, blah. You made a point that you're watching basically everybody's minutes here and that you don't have to have a specific injury to have your minutes managed here in game 62.
There's no doubt. I mean, we want Jason to get up to high, you know, a high-minute game, you know, maybe 5 to 6 times over the last 20. And when I say high minutes, I'm talking high 30s, you know, 40, whatever the case may be, so that prepares him for those playoff games. He's had a few of those in the last month. We've had a few overtime games. We've had a few games where he had to play more. The Cleveland game was one, and so – you know, I think we have to just be cognizant. You know, 34, 35 minutes, he's going to be used to. That's easy for him. But we have to make sure that we, you know, as we have other guys out, they're getting an organic rest, you know. And it's not perfect because Kimba's getting his while he's rehabbing and strengthening a knee. But he is getting less on his body throughout the course of the season. Gordon just had 2 extra days. Jalen has an extra week. Again, none of that's good because they're all managing something. But I just think we have to be alert to the extra attention and extra load that puts on the guys that are there every day.
How much of that is going to be for you on feel versus looking at the schedule and saying, all right, this day comes 5 days before this game, which comes 10 days before this game, versus I think it's been pretty apparent that we're headed for a game in Toronto in a week and a half that could be very significant in the standings. Are you talking about a situation where, hey, on that night you want to be able to have your guys as sort of on free rein?
I mean, they're all significant. Every game's worth one. And I know, and obviously, a tiebreaker situation may be worth, what, 1.5 or whatever it is. But, like, every game is worth one. Everything means the same. And at the end of the day, wherever we land, we land. We've got to be healthy to have a chance, right? We got to be healthy as well as we can be to get as far as we want to get. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. And so, and we've seen that a little bit over the last couple of games, right? So I think that we need to make sure we're managing the moment, but managing the big picture of, can we put a stretch together here at some point, whether that starts later this week, whether it starts next week, whether it starts 2 weeks from now, where we are full health, ready to go, be able to work on some rotations and get a little bit of a rhythm with that group as we go into the postseason. That would be what we would prefer, but we'll see how that works itself out. But we're looking at every game with the same level of importance because, you know, that's how it adds up in the NBA.
All right, healthy in this particular time in all of our lives has taken on sort of a double meaning. You and I have not really gotten into the topic of the virus and the precautions that the league is taking, because you sort of let the thing take its course. But now,
because you and I aren't doctors,
and because we are not doctors, so I am less interested in washing of hands and sanitizing hands than I am.
Yeah.
Have you considered, at least, you know, mentally thinking through, as you like to think through every different scenario, that the possibility certainly exists. The possibility exists that there might be some games here played without fans down the stretch.
And I don't think that would be as enjoyable, obviously. That's a big part of the game, both at home and on the road, is the fans and the environment and everything else. But it doesn't change my job at all from the standpoint of, you know, how we would play, how we want to play, what we're trying to accomplish, if there isn't anybody in the stands. I hope it doesn't get to that. Nobody wants it to get to that. I mean, we're all lucky to do what we do, and the reason why it's of such interest is because people actually watch or come to the games. And so, you know, I really, really hope it doesn't get to that, but I also trust that there's a lot more qualified people than me making those decisions.
All right, we mentioned, as you well pointed out, they're putting together one of the great road seasons and certainly stretches. This has been a remarkable season for this team. They've become one of the really enjoyable teams to watch, unless I suppose you're preparing to coach against them. Why have they been so dangerous throughout the course of the year, and what were we not seeing? Was it the fact that Chris Paul, a lot of 34-year-olds aren't having seasons like this anymore, and he looks like he's 24, not 34?
Well, and I think everybody was focused on him. And rightfully so. He's really good, and he's had a great year, an all-star caliber year. But, you know, when they added Gilgeous Alexander and when they added Gallinari, like, those guys are players, like real players. That's the one thing about the Clippers trade that I think's kind of got lost in the shuffle is everybody talked about picks and everybody talked about Paul George, but these guys are really good, and they have been good. SGA for 2 years now, but Gallinari forever. And so, like I don't know why we thought this. I don't think when I was talking to coaches and different people around the league, I think the more you delved into their roster and their situation, especially with the ability to continue to bring Schroeder off the bench, it just makes sense. Like, this is going to be a dynamic team that has a lot of answers. What I was just telling Scal in our TV interview is, how many teams have four guys on the court that can defend Schroeder, Gallinari, SGA, and Paul at the end of a game? I mean, there's just not. They usually have a great advantage at one of those spots.
And you may have snuck in the answer to what I really wanted to discuss, which is their numbers in the fourth quarter and in what the league defines as clutch situations are not only elite, they're the best in the league by a pretty significant margin. So I realized after 7 years, I didn't think there was anything left that you and I haven't discussed.
Ooh.
But here is one. Where do you stand
Corona,
on the
– we already have done two in this one.
I know, it's crazy.
Coronavirus.
Well, coronavirus is certainly one.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on the issue of whether or not clutch exists? And Max and I were just discussing the Thunder because of all these numbers. Does clutch exist? Is it really a thing that affects certain players?
You mean, like, are some guys special in – those moments, and is that real?
I think yes.
So I don't buy into that those moments are just the same as every other moment. So that would be my thought. Maybe that goes against some of the Sloan stuff this weekend, but that would be my.
You might not get invited back. Yeah, it might withdraw any future invitations.
Well, it's the same argument, and I've had this argument before with people. Like, the hot hand does exist.
Yeah,
it's real. Like, anybody that's ever felt like that rim was as big as the ocean, even if just for 5 minutes, it just makes sense.
And I suppose that is literally. I love all the information, but there are things that you just cannot ascertain sitting in front of a computer. That you have to watch a guy that you're coaching against. I imagine. And hit 8 shots in a row with a guy in his face before you can come to that conclusion.
There's no doubt. I mean, did the rim Conley was shooting on the other night look bigger than the rim he was shooting on in Utah 9 days ago? For sure. And, you know, but it is – maybe it's not hot hand. Maybe it is, like, you know, you're just in a better, you know, confidence level at that moment. But the bottom line is I do think that there is something to it. And that's why we always talk about you can't let a great scorer see the ball go through the net in an easy way. You can't let him have a layup. You can't let him have a free throw. You can't let any of those easy baskets happen, because once it does, you're just opening yourself up for a guy to feel good about himself.
All right, so let me just recap the last 8 minutes. There is a hot hand, and you should wash it often for at least 20 seconds.
I'm pretty sure that we just covered a bunch of stuff that we are totally not qualified to cover, but that's okay. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that means we can be in the media.
I can't comment on that.
Celtics and Thunder next on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.